Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now and more than 60 others can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free.
Hey, everybody. We hope you are enjoying our D&D one-shot. Just a reminder that next week starts our series of one-page RPGs, each one led by a different member of the cast. So join us for that. I do have a favor to ask of you. Since we have joined the Fable and Folly Network, we have learned a lot, and we have gotten a lot of benefit from being a part of them. Sean and Russ have been great in helping us grow. They have set up a survey, and it's over at fableandfolly.com/survey. And if you could head over there, this address will be in the show notes. If you could head over there and fill that out, it is a listener survey that they are using to compile information for all the shows on their network. So it also gives you the opportunity to tag other shows on Fable and Folly that you might listen to. So again, that is fableandfolly.com/survey. It'll only take a few minutes. If you could head over there and fill that out, that would be a great benefit to us as we move forward. And I think with that, it's time to get to the episode. The four of you are inside of Noak's encampment. You have just destroyed the bed dragon, which has shattered to the ground in pieces of wood and brass and bedsheets. Noak has let out a cry of frustration. Kim, it is still your turn. What are you doing?
All right, I'm going to use my movement, which I believe is halved due to getting hit by that ice spell. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, so I'm just going to move as much as I can towards the tower. And I'm going to feed myself another potion of greater healing.
What do you get from that?
So I'm up 15 hit points.
All right. Stan?
I am also running up for the door. I think I can get pretty far here. And I am going to take a potion as well.
Okay. Are you getting out onto the bridge to take your potion in front of the burning door? Or are you stopping inside of the building?
I think stopping inside of the building. I got to assess the situation.
All right.
Oh, that almost topped me off. I'm 1 point under.
Nice. Astrid, give me a D6 for your fire damage on that door.
5.
As you've stood here for this last 6 seconds, this fire is very hungry. It has eaten away the entirety of the door. And it is your turn.
I step through.
You step inside, and it leads you into what looks like a living room inside of a large tower. You are in a room that is a half circle. It's got tables all along the walls that seem to have various vials and potions. A lot of places where someone has been working on things, experimenting. And there is a door directly in front of you on the wall that's kind of in the middle of this half circle.
Can I look at the potions and vials? Do I recognize any of them?
Yeah, you don't see anything on here that looks of use. It's just a lot of different alchemy kits and tests and funguses growing and things like that.
I want to smash him. I don't know what they are or what he's been doing with it, but I don't want him to be able to use them against us if he tries to. So,
okay, how much time do you want to spend doing this?
Yeah, as far as my movement will take me, I will take off one of the tables in the corner.
Okay, Capo.
I'm going to move, dash, and pop a greater healing potion just to cover as much ground as possible and get healed up a little here.
Okay.
Damn, that was a good fucking roll on that potion. 2 4s, 2 3s. So 18 points total.
Patience.
I'm going to move as far as I can, hopefully across that bridge and into that larger tower. And then I want to take the dash action to move towards that door.
Okay.
Is it locked?
Yes.
So I can't do anything about that right now, but I am still raging, but I only maintain that rage if I am attacking a hostile creature or if I take damage. So for my bonus action, I'm going to frenzy smack myself across the face for 2 points of damage.
Nice.
Stan.
I am getting as far as I can as well towards this door that Patience is at. And I guess punch at the door.
All right, roll to hit.
25.
That hits.
And 7 points of damage.
Okay.
I am not going to spend my key and flurry this door, I don't think.
Fair. Astrid.
I'll just come set this one on fire too.
All right.
25.
That hits. Roll your damage.
3 points.
All right, so you cast Firebolt on the door, and it catches on fire. And again, at the beginning of the next round, if it's still there, it will take a D6 of fire damage as it is burning. Capo.
I'm going to watch. I can do a maximum of 1 damage with an unarmed strike, and I don't think a rapier is going to help the door. So I will play a tune to give Patience Bardic Inspiration.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
How long does that last for?
10 minutes. You can add a D6 to something, whatever you want.
Great.
After the roll, but before knowing the outcome.
Cool, cool, cool.
Capo, Stan, and Patience, give me a constitution saving throw.
Oh.
Neat.
21.
18.
6.
This damage is insulting. Capo, you take 2 points of damage.
Oh, damn.
And are knocked back 10 feet.
Whoa.
Patience and Stan take 1 point of damage as the door explodes open and a wave of thunder and lightning pours through the door, seeming to affect you almost not at all. And on the other side of the door, you see Noke.
Oh, well, thanks for opening the door there for us, buddy.
I'll kill you.
Maybe.
Oh, thank you for the vote of confidence. That's all I've been looking for, someone to believe in me.
Yeah, that's true.
Here, you can have my wand.
There you go. And now that you can see him, he is holding that wand of polymorph. And does anyone have Arcana?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and roll it.
9.
10.
All right, you look at this wand of polymorph, and it has this huge stone rune around the base of it. Like, it has been added to this wand, and you can see that cracks in the wand have appeared, and they're just pulsing with energy. It seems out of place. It seems bulbous, but it is attached to the end of this wand of true polymorph.
You describe that to me again.
It's the wand, and then it's got like a metal donut with runes carved on it at the base.
It seems like that's not an original part of the design.
You know that this is an unusual wand. You don't know if that's why it's unusual or if it was unusual before that edition. Patience.
I'm going to run up to Noke and try to hit him with my great axe.
All right.
20 to hit.
That hits.
8 points of damage, but I'm going to frenzy attack again.
Okay.
Going to use that inspiration that I got from Capo. 13.
That does not hit.
Damn it.
Stan.
Well, I better run up on him and give him a punchy punch.
Oh man, roll it.
Okay. Ooh, 15.
That hits.
Oh, all right. 5 points of damage. And hey, let's go ahead and spin this last key. 21.
That hits.
And that's 7 more damage. And could you please give me a dex saving throw?
15.
Okay, I'm going to try swing number 2. Nat 20.
Nice.
Nice.
Yes.
That is 10 damage. And please give me one more reflex.
11.
All right. He falls prone.
Astrid.
I'm going to move up into the room next to him. And while I'm right up next to him, I am going to cast Poison Spray. So you extend your hand toward a creature you can see within range and project a puff of noxious gas from your palm. The creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or take 1d12 poison damage.
14.
That saves.
Okay.
But he smells so bad now.
Got him.
noxious.
Capo.
Give me a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
With advantage.
Oh, because you're...
Because we're fighting.
Seven.
No, that doesn't work. Okay, so I say, look, I know that we all respect your magical prowess, and we'd all be happier just talking about this, so why don't we all just put the weapons and the wands away and have a nice, calm conversation? And he is charmed, which means he regards me as a friendly acquaintance for an hour or until me or my companions do something harmful to him.
What exactly is it that you want to talk about?
Well, for starters, that wand is just so... It's so unique, isn't it? It's such a powerful item.
Yes.
Yes, and it looks interesting. What's different about that? It seems different from other wands I've seen.
I think roll persuasion.
Okay. 22.
Oh, yes, it is different. I have made it better.
Is it something to do with the donut?
Yes. The magic donut. The magic rune nut.
We should workshop that name.
Are we married to that?
Yes.
What's it do?
It gives the wand extra life, extra energy. I can do way more in a day than my predecessor could.
But it seems like maybe it's taking a toll on it.
Oh, nonsense.
I mean, it looks like it's literally cracking apart.
That's just it. It's pulsating and throbbing. It's now, strong like bull.
I'm uncomfortable with this man. Look, you're a skilled magic practitioner, and I know you've got the acumen to know that this is dangerous. This can't last. If you wear it out, if you burn it out, then you'll never have another chance. But if you calm down, take it back a notch, let us help you, then maybe we can make this power last forever, Noak.
Is this a deception?
I mean, I definitely don't intend to help him become powerful forever. Yeah, I think it's a deception.
So roll deception.
Okay. Is this also with advantage? I don't remember what's it with advantage when he's charmed.
The charmer has advantage on any ability check to interact socially with the creature. So I would say yes.
14?
You lie to me. You want to take it from me. Everyone wants to take it from me.
I shrug and try to stab him with a rapier, I guess.
All right, roll it.
Oh, well, I did my best. I charmed as well as I can charm. 16?
That hits.
6 piercing damage.
Patience, give me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, whoopsie.
You got
this.
Don't
feel like I'm going to be good at this.
No, you got it.
I'm sure it's fine.
16?
Noak points the wand of true polymorph at you, Patience, and a charge flies out of it past you. And at the same time, the runes around it glow and the cracks running up the wand pulse with this energy and you see the energy engulf him. And the transformation that takes place before all of your eyes is horrendous. He seems to melt and shift and flux, and he becomes a mound of flesh covered with gibbering mouths and eyes, and it just starts to chatter incessantly. Everybody give me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh.
15?
20.
10.
3.
So you all pass except for Astrid. Astrid, all of these mouths talking at the same time sounds like madness. It is just gibbering. And it seems that you are not in your right mind from the effect of this. And so you will not be able to take a turn on your turn, but we're going to roll a random die on your turn to see what you do.
Cool.
The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Why doesn't everybody give me a new initiative since we kind of broke out and had some conversation there for a little while?
Okay.
That was one of my questions is, did my rage drop?
Yeah. Well, I think while Jake was trying to charm him and talk to him, absolutely. Oh.
Unless you were still slapping yourself.
I should have.
13.
A 22 yet again.
20.
6.
Patience.
Is the creature, formerly known as Noak, still prone on the floor?
Not really, because it is just a pile of flesh and mouths and...
Good. Yeah. We don't have to elaborate on that any further.
I'm sorry I asked. Never mind.
Yeah. I retract the question. Sadly, I am all out of rages, but I'm still going to hit it, and I'm going to make this attack reckless.
Okay, but first, give me a strength saving throw.
22.
Oh, yeah.
What was I trying to resist?
Around it, in a 10-foot radius, the floor seems to be melting and shifting as the weird, out-of-form reality of this thing's mind starts to affect the real world.
We can't have that. So I'm going to hit it with my great axe and make this attack reckless.
Okay.
24 to hit.
That hits.
16 points of damage.
Okay.
And I'm going to bonus action drink one of my standard potions of healing.
Okay.
So I'm back up to full.
Okay. Everybody give me a dexterity saving throw.
There we go. 19.
There you go.
17.
15.
12.
Astrid, half a dozen of these gibbering mouths start to spit acid in all directions. Megan, you are blinded for the next round as some of the acid gets into your eyes.
Fair.
I'm going to put an embargo on the phrase gibbering mouths from now on, please.
It's literally what the creature is called, the gibbering mouther.
Oh, fuck me.
Oh, no.
So I'm sorry.
Mouther.
Mouther.
And also point of order, since I made my attacks reckless, any attacks made against me would be at advantage for this round.
18 to hit.
Hits.
28 points of damage as a bunch of the mouths latch onto you and start chewing.
At least you didn't say gibbering.
I didn't. I tried to avoid it. They can't because their mouths are full.
That was
gross.
4 out of 5 D6s landed on a 6.
It's true. And give me a strength saving throw.
Sure. 21.
No problem. You are able to stay upright as all these mouths pull back towards the mound. It does not pull you over. It doesn't knock you to the floor.
You're painting some real bad word pictures.
I'm trying to get better at describing the things. It's unfortunate that this is when
he's decided to really hone in on it.
You're choosing now to take that note?
Stan.
Okay, can we see the wand anywhere? Or is the pile atop it?
You can see the wand.
Okay, I think I'm gonna try to dodge in and grab it.
Yeah. Give me a sleight of hand.
Okay. 11.
Yeah, you are actually able to reach in. It only has a passive perception of 10. You are able to reach in and snatch it up, and it doesn't seem to notice and strike out at you.
Okay.
So you have this wand in your hand. What are you doing?
Is talking free?
Yeah.
If you give it to me and you give me 1 minute, I can figure out how to use it.
Oh, yeah, okay. And I'll toss it to him.
All right.
Who said that?
We are to Astrid. I'm going to roll your D8 to see what you do.
Yeah. Shit.
Megan, roll an attack for me with disadvantage. A melee attack. Do you have a melee thing in your hand or just roll a punch? If not.
That's a nat one. Oh, but fuck, I re-roll those.
Oh, nice.
Why now? I rolled a 16 and a 19. This is the highest I think I've rolled the entire
round. And is that with your added?
17.
All right, roll your damage.
3.
All right, as you yell about, oh, throw me the wand and I'll attune to it, Aster turns around and stabs you with a dagger, Capo.
Fuck.
3 points of damage as she strikes out wildly, trying to avoid the sounds of the gibbering mouths.
That is what I do when I'm not sure what's happening, as I just swing wildly with a dagger.
I strike out with a dagger.
I just start slashing.
So anyway, I started slashing.
Patience. I have been forgetting to have you all do this. Patience, I need 2 saving throws from you, a wisdom and a strength.
Okay. Wisdom first. 18.
Okay.
And strength? 22.
All right.
Nice.
So I'm going to attack this thing again, reckless.
All right.
2 18s. So that's a 24 to hit.
That hits.
13 points of damage.
Okay.
And I'm going to bonus action drink my last potion of greater healing.
All right.
So I'm up 13.
Okay. 17 to hit you.
Hits.
23 points of damage. As again, these mouths reach out and bite onto you, give me a strength saving throw.
Really glad I took that potion because I'm at 3 hit points. Natural 20.
Excellent. You have no problem staying upright again as these mouths try to pull you in towards the mound of flesh. Stan, I need a wisdom and a strength saving throw from you.
Oh, golly. Okay. I'll do wisdom.
Okay.
17.
You're good.
And then strength, you said?
Yes.
13.
You're good.
Oh, thank God. Okay. Now I'm going to hit it. 7. I assume that doesn't hit.
It does not.
And I guess I don't have my flurry anymore, but I can use my bonus action for an extra swing.
Okay.
So I'll try to get one in at least. 17.
That hits.
Oh, thank God. 6 damage.
Astrid. I need a wisdom and a strength saving throw from you.
Wisdom's going to be 18.
That's good.
Strength's going to be an 11.
That's good.
I'm going to turn the tables on this thing and hit it with an acid splash.
Okay.
You hurl a bubble of acid. Choose one creature within range. Target must succeed on a dex saving throw or take 1d6 acid damage.
It does not have 14.
Yeah, I think so. That saves.
Okay. Which seems wild to me.
Yeah, I was like, this thing can't have great dex.
Has a minus 1. I rolled a 15.
Never mind. Yeah. I feel like all of my attacks end with, well, never mind then.
Oh, God. Capo, give me a strength and a wisdom saving throw.
Nice.
19 strength and 18 wisdom.
Yeah, you are fine. The physical and mental effects on reality here. Got nothing on Capo.
Hell yeah. I am going to duck around behind Patience and back through the door to sequester myself for a minute, and I'm going to cast Identify to spend a minute learning all of the properties of this wand, how it works, if it needs to be attuned to.
All right, so Capo will be back in 10 rounds.
Yeah, I assume he'll be dead before then, but...
Someone will be. Patience, give me a strength and a wisdom saving throw.
Sure. Wisdom first.
Just lie.
13?
That's good.
Okay, strength. 14.
You're good.
Okay. I have 3 hit points left. I'm going to go down doing what I've loved most in this world, which is hitting things with my great axe.
Fair.
Reckless. Obvious.
Yeah, of course.
There we go. That's a natural 20.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. 26 points of damage.
Nice.
That's it for me.
Oh, for God's sake.
Extras? You need extras?
I don't. I have just enough.
Oh, no.
Is this me?
Hands can barely contain the amount of fucking D6s that are in his palm right now.
Since you both, Stan and Patience, had hit it last round, I thought, well, I won't have it instantly attack Patience. I'll roll a D20 and Stan will be odds and Patience will be even. And I rolled an even and then I rolled a natural 20 with the advantage that I have.
Oh, my God.
All ones.
Oh, my God.
Boy.
Jesus.
What's your HP total?
Let's wait. Okay. Let's have a sense of drama about this. Here.
Don't forget that little twofer by the pencil.
Oh, thank you. 42 points of damage.
Oh, my God.
All right. So my hit point maximum is 41.
Uh-huh.
I have 3 hit points. So I just barely don't instantly die, but I do go unconscious. 44 was the magic number you were trying to hit in order to kill me, Rev. There's actually a little smile on Patience's face, even though I'm unconscious. I always knew it would end this way.
Stan, give me a strength and a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. 16 for wisdom.
You're good.
17 for strength.
You're good.
All right, now I'm going to take a swing. You know what? I haven't pulled it out for a little while because I hadn't thought about it, but it's quarterstaff time. I'm not messing around now. Nat 20.
Nice.
Nice.
Yes.
12 damage.
As you strike the staff down onto the gibbering mouther, all of the mouths in different harmonies, different frequencies let out screams, and the whole thing melts to the ground, sluicing through the floorboards. We're going to stay in initiative order for the moment. Because we've got someone in death saving throws. Next is Astrid.
I go over to Patience and I feed her a greater healing potion.
Okay, roll it.
You heal for 14.
Thank you.
So Patience, you are back in the world of the living and we are out of initiative order. What's everybody doing?
I'm bearing down for another 54 seconds to identify this thing.
Okay.
I think I'm looking around. I think in particular, I want to go to the door for the the bridge across to the last tower and see if there's any other threat.
Yeah, you head over into that other room and there's a space where a bed used to be and then the exploded ceiling and there's a nightstand and a rug and a couple of torches. This seems like it must have been the bedroom.
Okay. Yeah, guys, I think we're okay.
I'm picking myself up off of the ground and looking at Astrid and looking at this corpse that was Noak. Hey, Astrid, did I kill it?
I can't really see right now, but it sounded like it. I kind of got some sight back. I saw you on the ground and you didn't look great, so I poured this in your mouth.
Okay, good.
But probably yes.
Excellent.
Capo, after another 54 seconds, you are able to identify this. And it is a wand of true polymorph, and you can attune to it. In fact, it seems like literally anyone can attune to it, which should not be the case.
Huh. What's it take to attune to it? How does attunement work? I don't know.
So it will take an hour to attune to it, but you see that there are 3 charges in it at current.
And the donut, can that just be like removed? Or like, I mean, am I going to turn into a mouth pile if I try to use this thing?
I don't think you know.
All right, well, I'll hold on to it. So is there anything else we need to do before we take this back to Shinebright? That's it, right? We did it?
Yeah, think so.
Because I have a feeling that if any of us tries to use this thing, we might also become that nasty pile.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's maybe not do that then. But hey, good hustle, everybody. Real good hustle.
So how are you all getting back to Turnpike?
Might as well go over the wall. That's the path we took to get here, and we know that it worked.
Yeah. Agreed.
All right, so the 4 of you head back to the wall and make your way back over and back to the town of Turnpike. We find you all the next morning pretty rough for wear. I imagine that you moved all throughout the night because after you got about 100 yards outside of the camp, you started to hear the sound of an alarm being raised, saw fires in the distance, and so you didn't feel comfortable camping for the night. But you do get back to the camp of the Power Cords. And Shinebright is still there. He is safe. He has not been eaten.
I'll kind of like hold up the wand and be like, I get it, but like, I'm pretty sure that if I tried to use this, the last guy turned into a mush pile. It seems very unstable. So like, is there a way to safely turn you back without this thing fucking me right up? Bah, once for yes and twice for no.
Bah,
That's 3. That's neither.
I feel like that's an I don't know.
Meh.
Yeah.
That was 1 for yes. Okay, I understand. Well, I guess I'm just going to do this then.
Is there maybe anybody within the Power Cords who might be well-versed in magic who could take a look at it and give us a better idea?
Yeah, you're looking at them. I'm the magic guy in this. Like, isn't that sad? Like, I'm the magic man in this fucking group, and I don't have any better ideas. So.
Cool, then try it.
Yeah, I'm going
to
try.
Is it possible to inspire yourself?
I'm sure fucking trying. It never seems to work.
Yeah, not the way I'm feeling about this one. I'm gonna try and polymorph him back.
All right, Capo, here's what I need. I need an intelligence, an arcana check specifically with a DC 17.
That's so high.
It is.
Nat 20.
Oh, yes! My god.
Oh my god.
Yes.
The charge leaps out of this wand and hits Shinebright. And he is returned to his normal form. And he stretches. Oh, that's nice. Oh, I've been walking around on all fours for years now. Well, thank you so much for all you have done. May I have that? I'm not going to, like, turn it on you or anything. It's just very dangerous. Look at it. It's pulsing with energy.
Wait, hold on. Does that seem true? Now I'm scared that he is going to turn it on me. Does it seem like he's being honest?
It does.
Okay.
I was legitimate. Those 3 bars, I had no idea what the rune nut on the back does.
But you know what it's called.
It may have been an early design. I never finished it. I was transformed into a sheep before I finished it. And it's clear that Noak finished the rune nut.
I'll give him the wand.
Look at this thing. Pulsing with energy. It's kind of frightening.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of faith that he'd pull that off, but I'm glad it happened.
I didn't either.
Oh, good.
And the camera pans out as the 4 of you stand with Shinebright, who reaches into one of his pockets and starts handing out handfuls of gold from a pouch. And that is The Wild Sheep Chase by R.M. Jansen Parks, which you can find at winghornmedia.com. First, congratulations, everybody.
Yay! Did not think we were going to make it.
No, it seemed real dire a few times.
You all lived and no one got turned into a gibbering mouther. Well, I mean, none of you.
Yes, fair.
Because a little spoiler here, behind the curtain, The modified wand of true polymorph requires a DC 17 arcana check when it is used. If you do not succeed by 5 or more, it turns you into a gibbering mouther. If you succeed, the difficulty number for it to be used goes up by 1 the next time you try to use it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So how do you all feel? It's been, I know for some of us, a very long time since we have played something that required, like, a map and counting spaces. It's a much different experience in this audio medium.
Yeah, I just have forgotten how to keep track of any of this. I didn't use half of the skills I have because I'm too focused on trying to pace out the narrative. And yeah, it's just a whole different kind of game to sort of mentally keep track of.
Yeah, definitely. And playing a character that, like, other people picked for me was very interesting. I have never played a warlock before. It was very new to be, you know, limited to the 2 spell slots and kind of having to rely on cantrips and playing with the map and back in 5e was really great. It took me back to, you know, my regular gaming group that we played like every Sunday for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And you know, I miss some of that a lot. It was nice to kind of dip back into that.
Yeah, I've played a lot of D&D, but I've never played a barbarian before. I fucking loved it. It was great. Loved every moment.
For what it's worth, you all do level up.
Oh, cool.
Awesome.
Okay. Now we're level 5 and we can do a bunch of extra cool shit. Now all of my cantrips and spells do an extra dice damage.
I will never, as long as I live, forgive myself for just entirely forgetting that I can catch and throw projectiles back at somebody.
When they were throwing the dice
at you. When they were throwing dice at me. I was so offended by getting hit with the dice that it didn't even occur to me.
I will never forget the roar of laughter when it was announced that you were playing a human raised by humans. I was editing that the other day and it made me, like, I had to take a break. I was laughing so much again. So thank you to everyone who took the time to vote on what everyone would be playing at the table. Just a reminder that the July 28th episode will be our Season 3 Q&A. So make sure you send us your questions about Season 3. You can send those to us at thecast@thecritshowpodcast.com or through the website on the submission form. And at the end of the Q&A on the 28th, there will also be a little teaser for the start of Season 4. With that, we will see you all next week, where for the next 4 weeks, we will be doing a one-page RPG each week led by someone different at the table. So we will see you next week.
The Crit Show is a Crit Show Studios production, edited and produced by Brandon Wentz, with music by Jake Purley. You can find more information about us at thecritshowpodcast.com. To keep up to date with upcoming live shows, contests, and other special events, follow us at The Crit Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. For even more weekly content, join us at patreon.com/thecritshow.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Well, hello there. Dr. Charlie Tuggett here. You know, rumor was, Spaceship Oz-9 was intended to take a bunch of rich folks to a new planet since, you know, we pretty much used up the one we have now. But, you know, since it's looking more and more likely the ship might be humanity's last stand, let's take a quick look around.
Are you telling me the 4 sacred tokens are all aboard the Oz-9?
Remind me again why we're doing this?
Allegiances are too muddled on this ship.
MCCACEC is a normal institution of higher learning.
Ah, but if you pull back the outermost layers...
I'm from Minnesota, where we like our lives as neat and as open as the inside of a freshly caught and cleaned walleye.
Do you know, I am now the only assassin aboard the ship.
What are you doing, Elaine?
I want to know what side he's on when the ship hits the fan.
Are they the most ridiculous people I've ever met?
Fetch that annoying bunch of trespassers so we can bring Pluto to heel. The new order starts today.
Well, however this all plays out, you have a strong stomach, a high tolerance for stupid, You can follow the Oz9's adventures just about anywhere you listen to podcasts. I got a trot, Space Monkeys. Stay safe out there.